All right, Philippians chapter 1, I'll begin reading here in just a moment, and we'll go ahead and read verses 15 through 18 here in just a moment, and then I'm going to do my best going forward to slow down. We're also going to be in the book of Isaiah some this morning, but I'm going to do my best to slow down and give you time to turn there instead of me just reading. I get in a hurry sometimes, and I already know I talk fast, but I got to make sure I give you enough time yourself to turn there to follow along as opposed to just reading in case you want to mark or make notes in your Bible. So Philippians chapter 1. Here, we're going to continue. We've looked at the last several weeks in approved excellence and appointed experience. And this morning, we'll look at an apparent expediency. Whenever God is at work, it seems there is always some who try to take advantage of the situation. In other words, they want it for their benefit. They want to take the credit. God's doing all the work. Kind of like us guys. Our wife does all the prepping. She cuts up the meats, seasons the meats, gets all the vegetables chopped and ready, and we take it out and we cook on the grill and we fix supper. Only thing we did is put it on the grill and flip it a few times and bring it in, but yet we fix supper. And so often, even with our churches today, people want to take the credit for something that God did. If God uses us in a way to be a blessing, we're to praise the Lord and thank Him for what He did, because we can't do it of ourselves. And if we do it of ourselves, we're taking away some things and not giving God the honor and the glory. And like we pray so often when I pray with the men, is when all said and done, I want it to be said that God was glorified and magnified in our services at Harvest Baptist Church. It's all about Him. God uses the vessels. God uses men and women to get things accomplished, but it's Him working through us. But yet there are those that like to take the credit. And in Acts chapter 8, Peter and John were being mightily used of God, and a man by the name of Simon saw an opportunity, and he took advantage of that opportunity. And so let's look here and read verses 15 through 18 of chapter 1 of Philippians. Let's begin reading in verse number 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preacheth Christ of contention, not sincerely, but supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now let's turn over to the book of Acts chapter 8 here. And I'll read this passage of scripture we read together here in reference to this one Simon. And again, there's always that one that would want to step in and take the credit, as we see here, or wanting to purchase something. Acts chapter 8, beginning of verse number 18. Acts 8:18, and the Bible tells us, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to pause there just for a moment. That's why it's so important that I don't, any pastor, should ever know what the giving is. I'm glad we have a treasure. I have access to the online giving, to the bank. And I took guys with me when we went down and brushed up the accounts and opened some CDs instead of money just sitting there to draw some interest. But as far as what people give and how much they give, I don't know, and I don't want to know. I'm only human. I don't want to be influenced to make sure that I don't step on someone's toes because they give heavily or they give generously. The bottom line is that this is what the Lord wants me to preach. It really doesn't matter who it offends. In fact, a pastor shouldn't care if it hair lips the devil. He should just preach the word of God and what the Lord puts on his heart. And here, there's a concern here. It's all about money. Given to me this power, he says, that whosoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore this of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps thou thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art the gall of bitterness, and in thy bond, and in the bond of iniquity. Paul was seeing a similar situation developing during his ministry here in the book of Philippians. Peter, no doubt, was telling him like it is, and he did not care if it offended him. The bottom line is, whoa, wait a minute. And here's another thought. Not only was it against the Holy Spirit, I can't help but to think Peter thought to himself, hey, we're not hirelings. We're doing this as unto the Lord. What we do as of God, it's not for something in return for us. It's in ministry. It's in serving others. So let's go as we go a little further in apparent expediency. Letter A, the grieving over an improper motive. Do we have the right motive in our service? Are we doing it for the right reasons? Again, let's look back at our text once again, as we'll probably read it a few times this morning. In verse number 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. So what camp are we in? Which side of the coin are we here? Is it of goodwill? Is it for the right motive? See, it is possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. There's nothing wrong with serving the Lord, but if we're doing it to get credit, then it's the wrong motive. There's nothing wrong to give generously to the church, but when we want recognition for it, then are we doing it for the wrong motive? Sometimes our heart is not in sync with our hand. Keep your place here and turn over to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29 and verse number 13. Again, it is possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason, and sometimes our heart is not in sync with our hand. Sometimes the flesh is quick to respond, to do, to get, to receive, to give, or whatever, before sometimes thinking it through, or processing an aspect of my motive and why I'm doing it. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. See, we can all say the right words, pray the right prayers, preach the right sermons, and sing the right songs, and give the right testimonies, and yet do it with all the wrong motive. Now, this is a little bouncing a little bit, but I think I can clarify this a little bit or justify it. That's why I'm so careful with some denominations or some people that I witness or talk to in their home, at the door, at a restaurant, when I have an opportunity to talk to them. If I find out, and I hope I don't offend anyone, if I do, you know, I'm sorry, just read your Bible. But first of all, it's really easy. Brother Darrell, give me the amen if I'm right. In many cases, it's not that difficult to help a Catholic pray. They're used to having a book of prayer. They read a book of prayers. They have these things, and so do some other denominations. So getting them to follow you in a prayer is something they're maybe more than willing to do, but are they understanding what they're praying? That's why it's so important when leading and talking to someone about the things of the Lord, that making sure they understand that I'm praying this prayer because I realize I am a sinner, I am in need of Christ, I am trusting in Him, not in Mary, not the cross, not the church, not a symbol in the church as a cross. And by the way, He's not on the cross anymore. He shouldn't be. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. But yet, if we're not careful, we can have the wrong push or the wrong, maybe having the right motive, but getting through something and not for the right way or the right reason. Motive is very important. We shouldn't. In years gone by, in the 70s and 80s, I got caught up in some things myself, and I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me. But I ran across so many evangelists, so many men, so many preachers that were all, they were more excited about showing you their New Testament and how many notches they had in their gun of people they led to the Lord. And I thought to myself right away, what church are they in? Did they follow the Lord in believers' baptism? Are you following up on them? Don't get misunderstand me. We need to share the gospel, and only God knows the heart when they make that response. But we contribute, or we hurt them by making sure they understand or don't. I don't twist any arms to get people to say a prayer. No, no way. I want to make sure they understand their need and what they're willing to do. In fact, I'm very careful if even leading someone in prayer, I try to encourage them to pray on their own, out loud that I can hear them, but they say the prayer, and making sure they understand, making sure that we have the right motive. Do it with all the wrong motive if we're not careful. Paul reminds us over in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 6 and 7, Paul reminds us that we are to be the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto man. Let me read that again. The servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Again, making sure it's just not the hand and the mouth responding quickly before the heart and the mind catches up. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Don't do it for the accolades of men. Don't do it that others may recognize, but do it that our Lord may be honored and glorified. For him and him only. It really doesn't matter who sees what we do, what we don't do, and how we give and how we serve. What's so important that we're doing it as unto the Lord. Why do we attend church? Why do we sing in the choir? Why do we teach a class? Go to soul winning. Read our Bibles. And the list goes on and on. Remember, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See, when God observes a ministry being done, he just as easily sees the motive behind that ministry. He just doesn't just see what we're doing. He sees the heart and the motive behind it. And again, with the children of Israel, we want a king. And they liked the one that they were bringing forward. They liked Saul because he was head and shoulders. He was handsome and good looking, all those things, but not for the right reason. Not following the leadership of their prophet. Again, the grieving over an improper motive. Folks, we do not want to look back and grieve over the things that we did or did not do because our motive was not right. And then letter B, we see the gratefulness of an impeccable message. Man, can you think of a message that's not more clear and more sound and more loving and more deserving than the things of what God has to say? Especially what he has done for us on Calvary, giving his son to die us on Calvary. We need to make sure that we're making sure that we're putting Christ out in front of us. We need to make sure we're following, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, about the aspect of us, our wife that God has given us as our helpmeet, but there to be beside us and not a step or two behind us. You know, it's funny, right after I said that, within the same week, it might have been the same day, Michelle and I was walking somewhere, and I was walking a little quickly, and someone hollered out, "She's behind you, Pastor! She's not by your side!" And I just chuckled and said, "Praise God, they're listening." Now, I'm still got some military in me. When I walk somewhere, I walk to get there. I don't always mosey around. But here, as we look at that aspect, the gratefulness of an impeccable message. Notice verse 18 in Philippians 1. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Do we have the aspect as I'm ready to rejoice now, and I can't rejoice later because of what God's going to do? How often do we pray and ask, get excited about what the Lord's going to do and praising him for what's in the works, but also remembering to praise him when it's accomplished or while he is doing it? See, while God sees the heart and thus knows the motive, we can't. We don't know the motive of man. Paul was fairly certain that there were some that were preaching for the wrong reasons, but rejoiced that Christ was being preached. John R. Rice, as I mentioned, I enjoy reading biographies and autobiographies, and I read one in reference to Dr. Rice, and he was teaching in a preacher boys class one day and was asked this question. "Dr. Rice, if Billy Graham is wrong to join hands with the ecumenical crowd, why does God still use him to see people saved when he preaches?" Dr. Rice never hesitated. He said, "God blesses the word of God that Dr. Graham preaches." No matter what happens, we need to remind ourselves. I may disagree with some other preachers of like faith. I may disagree with some of the motive which they do, but without a doubt, I appreciate them preaching the word and God using them. And I'm like anyone else. I'm only human. And if we're not careful, we become like the prophet. "Oh, Lord, am I the only one serving you? Oh, was it only me?" But then the Lord reminds him, "Hey, I've got many other servants of God preaching the word, teaching and reaching and ministering to others." And sometimes we may feel like that. We may feel like we're an island. And I'm only human as well. I want God to work, and sometimes I have to remind myself. And sometimes, boy, the conviction the Holy Spirit uses, gentlemen, have you not ever been convicted by some of the things your wife has said? No. I take that as a yes. Well, I can remember moaning and groaning. I can remember times just getting ahead of the Lord, wanting God to do something. And I'm like, come on, Lord, hurry up. You know, man, that was a good sermon. I spent a lot of time in preparation. I got the accolades of men. And more people were at the altar. Lord, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Michelle will say, are you getting ahead of God? Are you wanting something God doesn't want yet? And that's when you want to say, woman, get behind me. She was right. All I had to say is, amen. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you for the helpmeet you've given me. Lord, thank you for the reminder. See, I hope never to forget that principle that God is not honoring the man or the woman that's speaking and preaching and teaching the word. It's the word that he honors and uses to change hearts. You say, I'm confident that people can sit in an auditorium of somewhere where we might not disagree with their doctrine in fullness, but yet the word could be preached and somebody could really get saved. I've seen it happen. I've talked to people. I've talked to people who come out of churches and come to churches I was ministering and saying, I got saved at such and such church, but now after being there a while and reading my Bible, I understand that they're wrong. I'm thankful that God used the preaching of the word that I got saved, but now I need to be somewhere that's right. I can grow in the Lord. And there's been those that have come and wanted to be rebaptized, and those, or they weren't baptized and want to unite with us and to be baptized. And of course, I'm always careful and make sure that they understand, but at the inside, I'm jumping up and down because I'm reminded they saw that because they've been in the Word. They saw that because they're just not going to church and listening, but they're reading their Bible through the week. They're studying the Word of God. They're getting involved in that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight as well as Sunday weeknight as well in our evening service. See, we don't have time to try to figure out everyone's motive for ministry. We just don't. Man, I can consume so much time. Bellyache and complaining and wonder what I need to do better, jump on websites of other churches because their parking lot's fuller than ours is and wonder what they're doing that I'm not. But that's a waste of time. That's a waste of time. I've learned this, that the Lord is going to bless and honor His word. Churches are going to grow numerically, most importantly, spiritually, and things are going to happen. But oftentimes, that is in His timing. And right now, to be honest, I got real excited about having 70 visitors on Easter. But if you want to be honest with you, at this point, as we're growing, if everyone stayed and came back, we'd have a hard time where to put everybody and have enough teachers for everybody. I want to see that happen. But I believe the Lord will begin to add daily to the church, as He promises, such as should be saved in time as we have the means, the facilities, the teachers, and the workers that we need to do it right. But we need to trust Him. And again, I'm patiently waiting. I'm anticipating. And yes, I get a hold of the head of the Lord. I think that's okay as long as I don't allow getting ahead of the Lord come to the point where I put my hands on it. I want to make sure that it's of Him. God will have to sort through all these things that we spoke of. What we can put our confidence in is that God will use His word to accomplish His purpose. Back to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're almost done this morning. Isaiah 55, and we'll look at verse 10 and verse 11. Again, we do not have time to try and figure out everyone's motive for ministry. God will have to sort through that. And what we can put our confidence in is that God will use His word to accomplish His purpose. That's why it's so important that we're in the word and using the word. Isaiah 55 and verse number 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Dear friends, we have an impeccable message. Flip over a few chapters. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Acts 34, 16. The Bible tells us, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Dear friends, God has given us without a doubt, some expediency. And as we labor and we work and to serve the Lord, the grieving over an improper motive and the gratefulness of an impeccable message, that we should be excited about the things of God, what he has done, but also anticipation of what he will do. We just need to be careful, and I need to be careful about getting ahead of myself. Sometimes we expect things, and then we get disappointed. Not the greatest example, but gentlemen, be honest with me. Have you ever called the wife while you're at work or away out of town or in town shopping, whatever, and said, "Oh, by the way, what's for supper?" I have. Only to get home and she shifted gears and you're having something completely different. My daughter, Kayla, the one that lives here, she's like this. She'll say, "Oh, Mom, my taste buds were all ready. I was walking in the door drooling and couldn't wait to what I was thinking about. And you changed the meal?" Now, it was still good and we still enjoyed it. But if we're not careful, we'll anticipate the Lord is doing so much so fast right away. And then when it doesn't happen in our time and the way we want it, we have a little bit of a letdown. Right. Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes we don't have the expectation of the confidence of prayer that we should have. And then when God does something, we stand back and say, "Wow, I didn't expect that." Where's that balance? I don't know. But I do know this. Expect great things for God. What'd the old missionary say? Attempt great things for God. Let's get excited about what the Lord has done, what we know he's going to do, and let's anticipate whether it's going to be this service or the next. I'm still going to do my best. I'm going to give my all. I'm going to pray. I'm going to prepare. I'm asking God to send revival. I'm going to be here when I can be here. Can't wait. And I hope I don't miss the service where he does it. And then when he does, we'll rejoice. And if he doesn't do it exactly the way we want it or when we want it, we can always leave and say, "Well, Lord, it may not have been today, but man, I sure did enjoy the service. Thank you for how it spoke to my heart. Thank you what it did for me. Thank you, Lord, for the response. I know there are those that may not have responded at the altar, but I know you did something in their heart because the word was preached." And as a preacher, I've had to learn, especially from a younger preacher being a little more mature now, God honors and blesses his word. And the sign of doing that, I can't allow it to be because people responded or people wept. Because if God's word was preached and I can say I was obedient to the Lord and the word did go forward, God did do something. But we don't always see what he did in the hearts of people until sometime later. Years ago, and we'll close, we had someone in our church that got saved. And when I heard that he got saved, not I was only surprised, I was thrilled, but I was surprised because he didn't make it known until sometime later. And when he finally told me in private, "Preachers, when did you know that I trusted the Lord and asked the Lord to save me?" So I immediately went through the plan of salvation. I immediately went through eternal security to make sure that he had understood. And he did. And he got saved several weeks prior. But he waited some time before he told me. And at first I thought to myself, you know, I thought something had changed about him. I mean, he started combing his hair when he came to church. He got out of those sweats and tennis shoes from PT that he used during the week and started dressing a little nicer. I should have known something happened. And it did. And I said all that to say this as we close. God works in the hearts and lives of individuals differently. Sometimes we see it before they ever make it public. Sometimes we don't recognize it, but we think it. Let's get excited about the impeccable things that God has done, is doing, and will do. How big they are and what level we want to classify it. Let's just get excited that he is doing something, because here at Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear, the word of God is being proclaimed in every service and every class. And ask him to use it and to bless it. Father, again, thank you for your goodness, the joy of service and fellowship. Father, may you be uplifted and glorified today. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, choir, if y'all need to get together for a rehearsal before service, let's be praying for